Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Two Step by Stephanie Fournet, narrated by Stephanie Wiles and Aiden Snow. Chapter 1. Iris. When you said I could spend the summer with you while you filmed your movie, this isn't what I had in mind, Sally says from the back seat of my rented SUV. My best friend is staring at the shop front of the day spa in abject horror. You actually have to do this for your job?
It's in the contract. She has to do it,
Ramon says, meeting her gaze in the rear view with a wink.
You don't, beautiful.
Sally's cheeks go scarlet. If she's not careful, her glasses are going to fog up. I swat my personal assistant on the knee.
Ow!
Stop doing that to her, I hiss. She's an innocent, from Oklahoma. She has no natural defenses against Puerto Rican pheromones like yours. Ramon brings his lazy gaze back to Sally's reflection.
They are rare and potent pheromones,
he purrs, and I hear Sally's breath catch. Ramon has been teasing and flirting with her since he picked us up at the airport last night. And her blush tells me she's taking it a little too seriously. It's understandable. Sally and I have just spent the last 2 weeks hiking a 150-mile section of the Appalachian Trail for our vacation. Just the two of us. Every guy we encountered needed at least 3 showers and 2 shaves before any of them could be considered flirt-worthy. Ramon is clean, coiffed, and 100% gorgeous. He's also 100% trouble. Cut it out, Ray, I scold him before twisting around to face my best friend. Steer clear of him. He doesn't do monogamy. Sally's mouth opens and closes like she's a landed fish. I hold up a hand. I knew you weren't. It's not you. It's him. I shoot Ramon a glare before looking back at Sally. And you know he's bi, right? So you'd have to be paranoid about all the guys in addition to the other girls. Sally's shocked gaze snaps to Ramon. He shrugs, his grin a sinister curling of lips.
It's true. I love both beautiful women and men.
But instead of clapping her hand over her mouth in embarrassed horror, as the Sally I went through puberty with would have done, she closes her gaping mouth, visibly swallows, and licks her lips, looking thoughtful. Even though Ramon has worked for me for 3 years, this is the first time they've met face to face. No one else is allowed on our AT hikes. That time is ours alone. And between Sally's school schedule at the University of Oklahoma and my work schedule, she hasn't visited me in LA since our senior year of high school. She's not equipped to handle Ramon and all his Ramon-ness. I clap my hands to get her attention. Seriously, Sal, here be dragons. These two people are, hands down, my favorite people in the world. And as awesome as they both are, I can't have them hooking up, and in Ramon's case, screwing up and jacking up my life. It may sound selfish, but at this point in my career, it needs to be smooth sailing. And that can't happen if the people I care about most in the world can't stand to be in the same room together. Or, for example, the same car.
And I thought you'd be cranky after the asshole waxing,
Ramon mutters. Sally gasps and I choke. What?
Moira didn't tell you? She booked legs, armpits, and the full Brazilian.
I clench my jaw. Goddamned Moira. The contract didn't say anything about me needing a Brazilian wax. It said bikini. I know, I read the whole thing. You, Sally squeaks, her eyes as wide as goose eggs. Have to wax your... No, I say firmly. Because Moira can kiss my ass, hair and all. I mean, not that there's really any hair back there to speak of. That is, I haven't exactly checked, but... And they actually do that sort of thing? Sally points to the front of the day spa. Here? Ramon shrugs.
Why do you think the name is Rose Petal Spa?
Sally silently mouths the name of the spa, and I see the moment it all clicks into place. She goes pale. Oh my God. Then she looks at me. Iris, you poor thing. I'm not. She's shaking her head. Why would the studio even need you to do that? I thought Hext was TVMA. You're playing a witch. She frowns at me behind her glasses, all concerned confusion. How would anyone see Raven Blackwell's... your... They won't.
Well, there is that bathing suit scene you're shooting next week,
Ramon says. I glare at him. They won't. He puts his hands up in surrender as though I'm holding a weapon.
Should we call Moira? You know how she gets when you change.
No one's going to call Moira, I say. Calling Moira, mobile, Siri announces through Bluetooth. My eyes snap to the media display on the dash, and I jab the red circle to end the call. Shit, shit. The call disconnects before she can answer, but my heart is already pounding. A preternatural stillness falls over the car. All three of us watching the display as if it is a sleeping panther we must sneak past in a perilous jungle. Seconds tick by in silence. Ramon lets out a breath.
Maybe she didn't see the...
The trill of the incoming call rattles the windows, and Moira's name flashes across the display. Damn it, I hiss. We all stare, frozen. Sally pipes up from the back seat. You could just let it go to voice.
No, we can't,
Ramon and I say in unison. I curse again in defeat and push the answer symbol. Why aren't you at the waxing appointment? Moira's voice attacks from all sides. Ramon's hand shoots out to turn the volume down to a bearable level. We're here, I say, trying to sound as casual as possible. Everything's cool. Then why are you calling? Is there a problem? Accident. Just an accident, I blurt. Butt dial. Well, are they running late? It sounds like you're calling from the car. Why haven't you gone in yet? I reach for the volume knob and give it another quarter turn so her voice feels less like iron spikes in my brainstem. This is typical Moira. Question after question after question. It doesn't occur to her to pause and let me answer them one at a time. We're about to go in. We just... I shouldn't do this. I know I shouldn't do this. Just what? She snaps. We were just discussing the appointment. I don't really think a full Brazilian is ness... She cuts me off. Ramon and I talked about this. I whip my gaze to Ramon, who is already shaking his head like he's suffering demonic possession. But I don't have to see his silent denial to know that when Moira says she's discussed anything with someone else, it usually doesn't imply a dialogue. She's the only one who gets a word in most of the time. I appreciate that, but I don't think... Iris, listen to me. As your manager, I think we need to set the tone from the very beginning that you are the kind of star who goes above and beyond for the role. Yeah, but I don't have to tell you what a close call this was, she says, sounding both relieved and judgmental. When the network canceled the show after just 3 seasons, do you have any idea how lucky we were that the studio picked up the movie rights? Of course I know. I'm the one who was out of a job for 3 weeks. I sigh, frustration shortening the ligaments between my shoulder blades. We were all out of a job, Iris. Don't forget that this isn't just about you, she says, her voice losing the relief and leveraging guilt in its place. I drop my gaze into my lap, but out of the corner of my eye, I notice Ramon's hand tighten around the steering wheel. I know this isn't just about me, but the words don't seem to have enough air behind them.
What did you say? You're mumbling again.
I fill my lungs and ignore the tightening in my throat. I know, I say clearly this time. I know this isn't just about me.
Well, good. I'm so glad to hear that. Because if the studio likes working with you, and Hexed is a box office success, you know there could be sequels, and you would have just written your own ticket.
I get that, Moira. But I don't see what a Brazilian wax has to do with any of that.
How many times have I told you about going the extra mile? I mean, we've spent years on this road, haven't we? Look how far we've come. All the way from Broken Bow, Oklahoma.
I swallow. Right. It's all I can say. There's no point in arguing anymore. I don't even remember why I started to in the first place. Oh yeah, because I don't want a stranger ripping hairs out of my ass crack. Hell, I don't want anyone ripping hairs out of my ass crack, strangers or no. But right now, what I don't want even more is to continue this conversation. Okay, Moira. We're gonna go in now or else I'll be late.
Good, good. If you want to call me while you're on the table, we can talk about some product endorsement offers that came in over the weekend.
I hear Sally choke. No. No. I shudder, picturing taking a call with Moira while someone is spreading hot wax on my nether parts. I'm pretty sure this is my custom-made version of hell.
I'll call you later.
Moira's sigh slithers around us.
Fine. Just don't forget.
I won't, I say through clenched teeth.
Ramon, don't let her forget.
Of course not,
Ramon answers in a rush.
And don't let her trip on the way into the spa. You know how clumsy she is when she's distracted.
I shut my eyes and squeeze them until all I see is red and black. Ramon clears his throat.
I won't let anything happen to her, Moira.
It's the certainty in his voice that allows me to open my eyes again. I look at him. He's watching me. Too much sympathy in his caramel brown eyes. I look back at Sally, who is biting her lip, concern a stamp between her auburn brows.
If that's all, Moira, we're going to... Yes, get in there. You're officially late.
And the call disconnects. None of us moves. No one says a word. After a long moment, Sally whispers,
Is she gone?
I try to inhale a lungful of air, but I can't seem to make my ribs expand. I blow out a shallow breath instead. Yeah, she's gone. Ramon unbuckles his seatbelt, exits the rental, and closes the door behind him. He takes his time moving around the front of the car. And I know he's giving me a much-needed minute. Sally hasn't been around enough to know better.
You know what, Iris?
I try for another solid breath.
What, Sal?
Your mom is the scariest person I've ever met. I have to laugh because what else can I do? At least it gets me breathing again.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Ramon opens the passenger side door. And I slide out. But the slide gets away from me, and instead of slipping gracefully out of the Range Rover, I botch the landing, and my heels skid forward way too far, and my ass, the one that's destined for waxing, is headed for the cement. But Ramon catches my elbow just in time, halting my fall.
Damn, Iris,
he curses, hauling me to my feet.
You're trying to get me fired?
Sorry, I say,
shaken and pissed at myself. I'm sorry.
You lightheaded?
Ramon asks, frowning at me. I shake my head. No, I'm fine. It's just... But I don't say it. Ramon has worked for me long enough that I don't need to. He opens Sally's door, hands her out smooth as silk, and reaches for the cooler in the back seat.
Here,
he says, handing me the second bottle of today's juice cleanse.
Drink this.
I frown. But this is supposed to be for lunch.
Nah.
Ramon shakes his head.
Change of plan. We'll get you a salad for lunch. Loaded. Just drink this now.
I didn't argue. Ramon, my personal assistant / nutritionist / personal trainer / bodyguard, knows when he needs to step in and tell me how it is.
We should probably have waited until tomorrow to start juicing anyway,
he says, taking my arm and escorting me to the door. Yeah, but we start rehearsals tomorrow, and Moira didn't want me to look bloated after vacation. Hiking the AT might be active, but doing so requires a high-carb diet. And high-carb means belly bloat. I knew a juice cleanse had been in my future before Sally and I even booked our plane tickets. He pulls open the door of the boutique spa, and a gust of cool AC welcomes us.
Yeah, but we didn't take into account the Louisiana humidity. You need time to adjust to the new climate.
He's right. It's only 10 in the morning, and the heat is unreal. The air is heavier than I've ever felt in LA. You said filming on location was going to be an adventure, I say, hoping to make Ramon smile. When we heard Hexed would be filmed in Louisiana, we made alligator jokes for a good 2 weeks. Our favorite one was about alligator attacks, managers, and odds on survival. But in the end, we decided that if any swamp reptile tried to eat Moira, she'd merely walk away with a new set of luggage. Sally follows us inside.
I wish we were just here for a mani-pedi, she whispers.
And I get why she's whispering. The place is all muted colors, soft lighting, water feature splashing, and chime music chiming. Well, you're here for a mani-pedi, I say, forcing a smile. I'm here for a smooth asshole that's going to lead to stardom and job security. Ramon and Sally both splutter with laughter, covering their mouths to try to stay quiet as we approach the reception counter. And their laughter is the only thing that makes me feel sane right about now. Who knows, I say. Maybe one day I'll get my own starfish on Hollywood Boulevard. My friends double over, and I cling to the rush it gives me as I face my doom.
Chapter 2. Beau. Be sure that you know the passé composé for all the verbs we've studied, not just the irregular ones. I look over the sea of faces and find two prevailing expressions, disinterest and disgust. But why can't we be exempt if we have an A? Of course, Erin Van Buren is the one to mount a challenge. She has the third highest grade in the class, but she thinks she has the second. Erin knows she's trailing behind Charlie Stockstill by just 1 point, but neither she nor Charlie knows that Greta Richard is the top of the class, because Greta doesn't boast. She's also one of the few in the classroom who isn't giving me a death stare. Parce que, Madame Van Buren, je n'exemple pas. Fortunately, judging by the looks on their faces, most of the class understands, and they should. This is French, too, and it's May. A fully immersed class is the way I'd like to teach, but here at Northside High School, I'd lose most of my students. At the end of the year, I'll still have to translate for half of them. I don't exempt.
But, Monsieur Landry, that's not fair,
Erin protests, straining forward in her desk.
Some of us have worked really hard.
I shrug. Most of you have worked really hard. All of you are taking the exam. A groan rumbles through the room. but from the back corner I see that unassuming Greta Richard is wearing the slightest of smiles. She loves French. I don't have to ask her to know that she wants to take the final exam. She wants to answer any question I could ask of her to prove that she has mastered everything we've covered. She doesn't have to take French 3 next year, but she will. And with any luck, I'll get to teach her again her senior year in my AP class. I know all of this because I recognize that self-satisfied smile. It's the same one I'd wear every time I answered a question in French, or took a French test, or, the best ever, woke up after dreaming in French with the knowledge that I had achieved fluency. Madame Richard, êtes-vous prêt à passer l'examen? Greta keeps her smile in check.
Oui, monsieur. Je suis prêt.
Yeah, I could exempt her. And Aaron, and Charlie, and half a dozen others. But where would the fun be in that? Grading their finals will be the reward after a long and, honestly, shitty year. Grading their exams will remind me that even though most things get worse, sometimes things, skills, circumstances, even people, get better. The bell rings and my students bolt from their seats like they're electrified. Étudiez à lundi, bon week-end. En masse, they scrape books off their desks and crowd the door, eager to leave, even if they aren't eager for their next class. Fourth hour is right before lunch, and I have Paula Gill, my department head, to thank that it's also my off hour. So, like I do every Wednesday and Friday after third period, I tuck my laptop and gradebook into my satchel, lock the classroom door, and head to Camellia Court. I have my pick of parking spots, but instead of parking close to the entrance, I stop in the shade of the live oaks at the corner of the lot. It's hot, and while I'm here, the car will get hotter, and I don't want to get back for a fifth hour with pit stains.
Morning, Beau,
Rosie greets me from behind the sign-in desk. But she isn't smiling, so I know it's been a rough morning. Damn. Gina okay? She wrinkles her nose.
She's been asking for Grant again. Thought I should warn you.
I scribble my signature in the guest book. Thanks, Rosie. And then I'm headed down the east hallway. The door to room 172 is open, and I can hear the TV from the hall. I hesitate for just a moment until I catch Mikhail Baryshnikov's accent and sigh in relief. White nights. The coast is clear. I wrap my knuckles on the door frame, and Mom looks up from her spot on her love seat. A smile breaks over her face.
There you are. I've been looking all over for you.
Halting mid-step, I study her face, her gaze. She's focused on me, looking directly at me. She tilts her head to the side, assessing me.
Well, what are you waiting for? Come in, Beau.
Relief is swift and almost embarrassing. She knows it's me. I cross the room, bend down, and press a kiss to her cheek. How are you today, Mom?
Today?
She tucks back a lock of hair that has escaped her scraped back bun. When she readies for bed tonight, she'll take out the pins she's carefully arranged, a lifelong ritual, and brush out the length that falls to her waist. Only then will the few gray streaks she has really show against her still black mane. She pats the bun as though checking it's still there.
What day is it today?
Friday, Mom. She looks down with a frown.
Friday? But yesterday was Tuesday, wasn't it?
I sit down on the love seat beside her, pick up the remote, and pause her movie. Yesterday was Thursday. I called while you were watching Singing in the Rain, remember? She flicks a furtive gaze to mine. She's embarrassed because she doesn't remember. I hate that she's embarrassed. You ready for lunch? A relieved smile settles over her face.
Yes, where are we going?
I stand and offer her my hand. Just to the dining hall today. She takes my hand, rises with grace, and tucks her arm around mine.
We're not.
She looks up at me, and I can read her hesitation.
We're not going to Riverside Inn?
I shake my head, but put on a smile. Not today. I'll take you on Sunday, okay? Mom frowns again.
What day is it today?
I hold my smile in place. Friday. She mouths the word as if committing it to memory. We leave her room and I steer her down the hallway toward the dining room. The smell of fried food blankets the air and Mom perks up.
Is it? You know,
gasping for the word, she gestures with the hand not clutching my arm. Yeah, it's catfish. Catfish Friday.
I love catfish, she murmurs.
I know. Honestly, it was one of the reasons Val and I chose Camellia Court over the other assisted living options we looked at last year. The rooms are sunny and overlook a well-maintained courtyard. It's just a 5-minute drive from Northside. They serve catfish on Fridays. And they hold dance classes every Tuesday and Thursday mornings. I sit Mom down at an empty table and grab a seat tray. The cafeteria staffers smile. Some of them greet me by name, and they know to add the cost of my plate to Mom's account. She's not the only one who likes catfish. I set down the trays and get us each an iced tea before joining her again. She looks around, studying the faces of the other diners, all of them at least 10 years older than she is.
Where's David?
My Uncle David is Mom's older brother and one of her 3 favorite people in the world. I pick up my fork. Nonk comes on Mondays. She puts a hand to her brow, cringing.
Oh, right.
She shakes her head.
I'm so sorry. You must get... So...
She trails off, and I wait. I wait because I want her to find the words. But they're getting harder and harder for her to find. When she gives me a helpless look, I shake my head. It's all right, Mom. David's probably at the studio. And that one word makes her straighten. Her eyes glint.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, it's Friday. He'll have classes until 6. She blinks up at me, the look in her eyes all hope.
Can we go?
I should have known better. She always asks to go to the dance studio when I mention it, sometimes even when I don't. I have to go back to school after lunch, but we can go on Sunday. The hope dims just a little.
Is that tomorrow?
I stifle a sigh. Impatience and frustration don't do any good. It's the day after tomorrow.
Oh, I...
She looks down at her plate, spears a piece of her fillet, and takes a bite.
Mmm, this is such good... Such good...
It's really good catfish. After our plates are cleared, I walk her to the courtyard. There's a path around the perimeter and a network of walkways around benches, shrubs, and a fountain. She's free to come out here on her own, but her aides say she never does. I think she's afraid she won't be able to find her way back to her room, so I always take her. The sun and fresh air help keep her spirits up. A little. She squeezes my arm.
Tell me.
I cover my hand over hers and wait. Screwing up her face, she taps her forehead with the heel of her hand.
You know,
she prompts, frowning up at me. About what, Mom? About school? She smiles, relieved.
Yes, school.
Well, final exams start Monday. My A students are upset that I won't exempt them, I say with a shrug, and her smile widens.
I'm sure they're ready. Ready for...
We make the curve in the path that leads toward the fountain.
You know, the... Time.
Summer, I say. Yeah, they're all ready for summer.
And you?
She looks up at me, her brow creasing with worry.
Are you going back?
I frown. Back to St. Anne's? No, Mom, I did that last year. The summer teaching program at Université Sainte-Anne in Church Point, Nova Scotia is a top-notch professional development opportunity for Francophone education. Because of a grant, Paula wrote, all of the French teachers at Northside took part in the 4-week session last July. While I was gone, Mom drove her car into a dry cleaner's. She could have hurt someone, but she didn't. The physical damage was mostly broken glass and her scuffed-up Honda. But she was a wreck. Nonk stayed with her until Val could fly in from Atlanta. Before the accident, my sister and I had both noticed her forgetting words, repeating stories, seeming a little confused. but she was only 62. 62-year-olds don't get Alzheimer's. Except when...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?